Welcome to Chemistry of the Mind, unlocking the brain's secrets, exploring the unseen universe within our minds. We're delving into the fascinating and sometimes controversial world of psychedelics and brain-computer interfaces.
Definitely a hot topic right now. So psychedelics, those are substances like LSD, psilocybin, MDMA, right?
Exactly. They're being researched for their potential in treating mental disorders, things like major depressive disorder, PTSD, even addiction.
I've heard about that. It's still pretty experimental, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. As of 2021, most countries considered them controlled substances, so psychedelic therapy is largely limited to clinical styles. There are a few exceptions, of course.
So how does psychedelic therapy actually work? Is it like just taking the drug and hoping for the best?
Not at all. It's a very structured process. It involves a therapeutic team who prepare the patient for the experience, guide them through it, and then help them process the insights afterwards. It's not just about the drug itself, but the entire therapeutic context.
Interesting. I see. And what about brain-computer interfaces? Are we talking like Matrix-level stuff here?
Not quite yet. A brain-computer interface, or BCI, creates a direct link between brain activity and an external device. It could be a computer, a robotic limb, anything that can receive and interpret signals.
So, like, you could control a computer with your mind? That's wild.
It is. And it's already happening, though, in early stages. Researchers have had success with things like controlling cursors, robotic arms, even restoring some communication for paralyzed patients.
Wow. So, what are the biggest hurdles for these BCIs?
Well, there are technical challenges, like finding a safe and reliable way to access brain signals. Invasive BCIs, which are implanted directly into the brain, offer the best signal quality, but they come with risks like scar tissue buildup.
Right. Makes sense. And less invasive methods?
Less invasive methods, like EEG, are safer, but the signals aren't as clear. There's also the challenge of interpreting those signals accurately. That's where AI and machine learning come in.
Oh, so AI is helping to decode the brain's language, essentially?
Exactly. And it's getting better all the time. But there's another layer to this, and that's the ethical considerations.
Yeah? Like what?
Well, with BCIs, there are major privacy concerns. We're talking about accessing very sensitive data, potentially even thoughts and emotions. There's also the question of autonomy. If a BCI can influence your brain activity, does that affect your free will?
Whoa. That's a big one. And with psychedelics, what are the ethical concerns there?
Well, beyond the potential for misuse, there's the challenge of ensuring responsible therapeutic use. Proper screening, preparation, and integration are essential. And of course, the long-term effects are still being studied.
It sounds like both of these fields are really pushing the boundaries of what's possible, but also raising some really profound questions about what it means to be human.
So, we were talking about the ethical implications, the really profound questions raised by psychedelics and BCIs, but the research continues to push forward, and it's unbelievable what's being accomplished.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. I mean, controlling a helicopter with your thoughts, that sounds like science fiction.
Right? And it's not just about fun gadgets. BCIs are offering real hope for people with paralysis, restoring communication and even movement. Early experiments, like those by Niels Birbaumer, were slow and cumbersome. But things have dramatically improved.
Oh? How so?
Well, researchers like Gert Fritzscheller and Jonathan Wolpaw have focused on developing BCIs that are faster, more accurate, and require less training. They're also letting users choose the brain signals they find easiest to use, like mu and beta rhythms.
I see. So it's becoming more personalized.
Exactly. And there are different approaches. Some BCIs use involuntary brain responses, like P300 waves, which are generated when you see something you recognize. This means you can potentially decode thoughts without any training at all.
Wow. That's incredible. So what about the technical challenges? You mentioned accessing brain signals?
Right. Invasive BCIs, implanted directly into the brain, offer the best signal quality, but they come with risks, like infection and scar tissue. Less invasive methods, like EEG, are safer, but the signals are weaker and harder to interpret.
Makes sense. So how are they overcoming that?
AI and machine learning are playing a huge role. They're helping to decode the brain's language, essentially, and getting better all the time. Bin He's team at the University of Minnesota has even used AI to control a virtual helicopter with EEG signals.
That's amazing. And what about less invasive BCIs? Are there any advancements there?
Absolutely. Dry active electrode arrays, pioneered by Babak Taheri, are a big step forward. They don't require gels or skin preparation, making them much more convenient. and they perform comparably to traditional wet electrodes.
That's a game changer, especially for everyday use.
Definitely. And there's also been progress in mobile EEG BCIs. Researchers have developed systems that can be used while walking, even on a treadmill. This opens up a whole new world of possibilities for applications outside the lab.
It sounds like the field is evolving rapidly. What about the future of BCIs? Where do you see this technology going?
Well, there's a lot of exciting research happening. One area is helping people with disorders of consciousness, like those in a coma or vegetative state. BCIs could help them communicate, even make important life decisions.
That would be truly transformative.
It would. And BCIs are also being used to aid motor recovery after stroke or injury. They can provide feedback to patients and therapists, helping to improve movement and accelerate rehabilitation.
So it's not just about replacing lost function, but also restoring it?
Precisely. And looking even further ahead, there's research into flexible devices, even neural dust, tiny wireless sensors implanted in the brain. The possibilities are really quite extraordinary.
It's incredible to think about the potential of these technologies, both for individuals and for society as a whole. But it's equally important to consider the ethical implications as we move forward, right?
So, picking up on the ethical implications we were discussing, it's crucial to remember that both psychedelics and BCIs are still in relatively early stages of development. There's a lot we don't know about their long-term effects, both positive and negative.
Right. And that uncertainty makes the ethical considerations even more complex, doesn't it? I mean, how do you regulate something when you don't fully understand its potential impact?
Exactly. It's a real challenge. With psychedelics, for example, there's the potential for misuse, obviously. But even within therapeutic settings, ensuring responsible use is paramount. Proper screening, preparation, and integration therapy are essential.
Yeah. And what about the long-term psychological effects? Are there any concerns there?
Absolutely. While many studies show promising results, we need more research to fully understand the long-term impact of these substances on the brain. We need to proceed with caution while still acknowledging the potential benefits for conditions like treatment-resistant depression.
I see. And with BCIs, it seems like the ethical concerns are even more far-reaching. Privacy, autonomy, even what it means to be human.
Precisely. With BCIs, we're talking about accessing very sensitive data, potentially even thoughts and emotions. Safeguarding that information is crucial. And then there's the question of agency. If a BCI can influence your brain activity, does that affect your free will? It's a pretty profound question.
It is. And as these technologies become more sophisticated, the ethical dilemmas will only become more complex, I imagine.
Definitely. Take something like neurosecurity, for instance. As BCIs become more commonplace, the risk of hacking or unauthorized access to brain data becomes a real concern. We need to be thinking about these security issues now, not after the fact.
Right. And what about the potential for coercion? Could BCIs be used to manipulate or control people's behavior?
It's a disturbing thought, but it's a possibility we need to consider. As with any powerful technology, there's the potential for misuse. We need to establish clear ethical guidelines and regulations to prevent that from happening. It's a conversation we need to be having now as these technologies are being developed.
Absolutely. And it's not just about preventing misuse. There are also questions about equitable access. Will these technologies be available to everyone, or will they exacerbate existing inequalities?
That's a critical point. We need to ensure that these technologies are used to benefit everyone, not just a privileged few. Access, affordability, and ethical development should be guiding principles as we move forward.
It sounds like a lot of these ethical questions don't have easy answers. It's a complex landscape.
It is, but it's a conversation we need to have. The potential benefits of these technologies are enormous, but so are the risks. By engaging in thoughtful ethical discussions now, we can help shape the future of these fields in a way that maximizes the benefits and minimizes the harms.
I agree. It's a conversation that needs to involve scientists, ethicists, policymakers, and the public. We all have a stake in this.
So we're wrapping up our series on the fascinating world of brain chemistry, and today we're diving into the ethical considerations surrounding brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs.
Yeah, BCIs. It's like something out of science fiction, right? Controlling devices with your thoughts. But it's real, and it's raising some serious ethical questions.
Absolutely. This technology has the potential to be incredibly beneficial, especially for people with disabilities, But, like any powerful technology, it also carries potential risks.
Like what? What are the main ethical concerns?
Well, one of the biggest is privacy. BCIs collect incredibly sensitive data, potentially even thoughts and emotions. Protecting that information is paramount.
Right. You wouldn't want your thoughts being broadcast to the world, or worse, manipulated by someone else?
Exactly. And then there's the issue of autonomy. If a BCI can influence your brain activity, does that affect your free will? It's a profound question.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a big one. It's almost like, who's in control, you or the machine?
Precisely. And as BCIs become more sophisticated, these ethical dilemmas will only become more complex. Think about neurosecurity, for example. As BCIs become more common, the risk of hacking or unauthorized access to brain data becomes a real concern.
Oh, so someone could essentially hack your brain? That's terrifying.
It's a possibility we need to consider. And then there's the potential for coercion. Could BCIs be used to manipulate or control people's behavior? It's a disturbing thought.
It is. It's like a dystopian sci-fi movie waiting to happen.
We need to establish clear ethical guidelines and regulations to prevent that. It's a conversation we need to be having now as these technologies are being developed.
Definitely. And it's not just about preventing misuse. There's also the question of access. Will these technologies be available to everyone, or will they exacerbate existing inequalities?
That's a critical point. We need to ensure that these technologies benefit everyone, not just a privileged few. Access, affordability, and ethical development should be guiding principles.
It sounds like a lot of these ethical questions don't have easy answers. It's a complex landscape.
It is, but it's a conversation we must have. The potential benefits of BCIs are enormous, but so are the risks. By engaging in thoughtful ethical discussions now, we can help shape the future of these fields in a way that maximizes the benefits and minimizes the harms.
I agree. It's a conversation that needs to involve scientists, ethicists, policymakers, and the public. We all have a stake in this.
So, let's unpack this dense material on brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs. It's a bit of a whirlwind of information.
Yeah, definitely. A lot to process. Where do we even begin?
Well, the core issue is making BCIs truly reliable. It's not enough to just sometimes translate thoughts into actions. It needs to work consistently, and that's a huge challenge.
Right, because everyone's brain is different, right? So what works for one person might not work for another.
Exactly. That's where personalized calibration comes in. Tailoring the BCI to each user's unique neural patterns is essential for reliable performance.
Makes sense. And what about the technical hurdles? There was mention of background noise being a problem.
Oh yeah, that's a major one. The brain is constantly buzzing with electrical activity. Picking out the meaningful signals from all that noise is like trying to hear a whisper in a crowded stadium.
I see. So how are they dealing with that?
Advanced signal processing and machine learning are key. They're developing ways to filter out the irrelevant noise and boost the signal-to-noise ratio.
Interesting. And is that enough, or are there other technical challenges?
Well, there's also the issue of interpersonal variability. Even if you can filter out the noise, each person's brain signals are unique. So a BCI that works perfectly for one person might not work at all for someone else.
Right. So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Not at all. That's why they're working on adaptive algorithms that can learn and adjust to a user's specific brain activity over time. It's all about personalization.
Got it. So more sophisticated models and better hardware are crucial for making BCIs more reliable and precise?
Exactly. And then, of course, there are the ethical considerations. This technology raises some pretty profound questions about privacy, autonomy, and even what it means to be human.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin. All this potential comes with a whole set of ethical challenges.
Absolutely. With BCIs, we're talking about accessing incredibly sensitive data, potentially even thoughts and emotions. Protecting that information is paramount.
Right. You wouldn't want your innermost thoughts being broadcast to the world, or worse, manipulated by someone else.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of autonomy. If a BCI can influence your brain activity, does that affect your free will? It's a deep philosophical question.
It is. It raises questions about who's really in control, you or the machine.
Precisely. And as BCIs become more sophisticated, these ethical dilemmas will only become more complex. We need to be having these conversations now while the technology is still developing.
I agree. It's not just about the technology itself, but how we use it. We need to ensure that BCIs are used responsibly and ethically to benefit everyone, not just a privileged few.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our exploration into the fascinating world of brain chemistry. It's been a journey of discovery, uncovering the incredible potential of the human brain, but also acknowledging the complex ethical challenges that lie ahead.
It has. From the intricate workings of neurotransmitters to the mind-boggling possibilities of BCIs, we've delved into the very essence of what it means to be human. It's a conversation that needs to continue, involving scientists, ethicists, policymakers, and the public alike. We all have a stake in shaping the future of these powerful technologies.